Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime. Good afternoon and welcome to the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. And welcome to One Bills Live, the first of our three shows here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. We are situated on Radio Row inside the Indiana Convention Center, right next door to Lucas Oil Stadium, right in downtown Indy. And many people believe, Steve, the greatest asset to the Combine being in Indy is the proximity. Everything is blocks away. We drove here to the Convention Center from our hotel today, and only once we got here, I thought, shoot, we could have walked. I mean, we're just a couple blocks away. It's great the way Indianapolis is set up.
Yeah, it is.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you here today.
Good to be here. You had a good show yesterday. I was kind of listening off and on. I was doing my thing yesterday, and Brownie held the fort down as well.
Brownie did okay. Yeah.
The drive, and it was nice, amicable road trip in.
Longer. I was saying on the air to Brownie yesterday, I thought it was 6.5, 7.
Yeah, no.
And only when I got in the car and I looked at the GPS that I
realized. You want to count to me?
Brownie was right. It was 7.5 hours to get here.
Yeah, it took us a while.
One Chick-fil-A stop.
Yeah.
Gasoline stop.
Right.
The gas had nothing to do with the Chick-fil-A.
Nope.
We should mention that. But here we are.
Yeah.
For the next 3 days, doing shows noon to three. The next 3 days, we got a big crew here getting set to go. We're inside the Radio Row area, the media pen of the Indianapolis Convention Center. Next room over is the bench press. It looks like a boxing ring, and people will be up there starting tomorrow, offensive linemen doing the bench press. And the next room over after that is the media area with, I think there's about six different podiums. Team executives are getting ready to take those podiums. They've been doing it all morning. We've got head coach Sean McDermott scheduled to get to one of those podiums in about 10 minutes. And when he does, we plan on trying to pick that up and bring it for you here on the show. This is your first combine.
First one ever.
I've been to a dozen of these.
Ever.
I've been to a dozen. They don't get any more fun, by the way, over the years. They really don't.
Yeah.
There's a little sense of
monotony. It's a little bit of a letdown for me.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell me why.
I don't know. It's fun. I mean, because I understand, I've seen this, I haven't been here, but,
you understand how critically important this is?
Yeah, no.
I didn't think so.
Right? I mean, it's guys in gym shorts, they're throwing it around. I mean, he really wowed you at the combine last year. You know what? I don't get wowed anymore. I really don't.
No, I agree.
I don't get wowed anymore. I see a guy run a 4.3, I've seen him. I've seen a bunch of those, and I've seen guys put up bench press numbers. I've seen guys make great catches. I've seen guys throw the football, and I stand on the sidelines of the games these guys are trying to be good enough to be in. And so laying down on a bench and throwing up 225 a couple of extra times doesn't really get it for me.
To say you're jaded. With NFL
football.
I don't say that.
I don't want jaded.
If that's the case, you should go home right now.
No, but let me just tell you this, Bill Murph. My standard's different than – I don't have to evaluate these guys.
Right.
I don't need to know who the best – who the third best defensive edge rusher is in this draft. I want to know what happens when they line up in the fall, and that's what I wait for. Because that's when it really means something. I know these guys, a lot of people are way into this. It's their thing, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, that's because there's a lot about, that's why the NFL's the 800-pound gorilla. There's things like this in the offseason that people can kind of dive into. Guys like Mel Kiper. Mike Mayock used to do it, right? Now he's the GM of the Raiders. I mean, guys get into this and make it their thing. And I know fans do too.
Right. Part of the reason for that, and this is obvious, is that this is all we have right now. We don't have games until August. We don't have real games until September.
Right.
And all we have is this draft evaluation period, which we enter into in a deep way with the combine. But and look, I agree with you. I look at the combine, the tests, the weights and measures, the running, the weightlifting. It's all just one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And the puzzle, and I think when the more you're around Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, you realize that their puzzle is pretty complex. They're not looking for just physical specimens. They're looking for players.
Right.
They're looking for winners, but they're also looking for a mental makeup from their players, which may or may not be measured here. In fact, you know, they do these meetings at night. The Bills started theirs last night. They'll do them every night this week. But, you know, 15 minutes with a guy, I don't know if you're going to come away with a real clear picture on who you're talking to, what you're dealing with.
I'm going to ask Sean McDermott if, you know, if guys, there's as much of a chance of them disqualifying themselves as there is making themselves stock rise, you know, and I'm sure that's true. But it is fun to think about all the ways that they have figured out how to evaluate these guys. And Murph, you talk about it, they get to sit down with these guys for, you know, a couple of minutes, get to know them, talk to them, watch them interact with their, you know, with their peers at their position, how they handle the atmosphere that this combine presents to them. How they handle themselves in an interpersonal way, how they handle themselves in a group, and how they handle themselves when they're in a drill trying to impress with their physical skills. And you get to watch them do that, and you measure them, you talk to them, you interview people around them, you talk to their coaches, you talk to them, and teams still get it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they still blow it. Yeah. You still blow it with some of these guys. They either something changes between now and the draft, or it looks different, or when they start getting doing this for money and they start making their living doing it, they change. There's just so many times when you see them go through all of this and you still, they completely whiff once in a while.
Well, one of the things, and I do think this is...
Every team does it.
I do think this is underrated. A variety of reasons. They grow up. They get money, they change their living circumstances, they meet a potential partner, a wife, for example, and people change. And there's no way to measure that, right? I mean, anybody who's done any hiring knows, for any in any endeavor, knows that that's difficult to do, to project, hey, this guy looks good, but what's he going to be like 2 years from now? We'll see, you know, and I think it's a really difficult thing to do.
Oh, it's impossible, and that's why it's so difficult to do. You know, you're down here looking at these guys who have just, you know, they're coming out they're coming out of different atmospheres too. A guy coming out of a place like Alabama, where they've got 11 guys on his, he's got 11 teammates here in different positions, you know. Or a guy like last year, Josh Allen coming here, he's got like nobody. He's the only kid from Wyoming at the combine, or maybe there was two. You know what I mean? But you get these kids from, you know, Morehouse or someplace like that, who come in here from a small school, and then when they get here, they handle it a different way. It changed them a different way. They either spread their wings, and they say, "Hey," and they realize pretty quickly, like, "Yeah, you do deserve to be here." And that, you know, they kind of flourish in this atmosphere because it's the first time they've been exposed to it. And other guys who get outside that little environment that they've been in college, they shrink away from it. And it could be the most gifted guy here who shrinks away from it. You just never know how that's going to be. And that's part of the thing that got these teams have got their magnifying glass out, and they're looking at these guys through it and trying to find their flaws.
One of the things, we talked about this in the car coming down, Steve, and I know you want to ask Coach McDermott about this too. Not only do you guys prove themselves at the combine and run a great time, or, you know, lift a great number in the bench press, they also sometimes take themselves out of the running for a high draft spot, right? They disqualify themselves, essentially.
Yeah, you hear this from all the time from teams, and it seems funny to me because I never really thought about it. But one of the most important aspects of this entire week is the ability for the teams to have their doctors get their hands on these guys and look at them and examine them. Because at this level, certainly there's a number of guys, not all of them, but there's a number of guys who have been injured as a collegian, or when you can't hide when they put you out there in a pair of boxer shorts and your bare feet, and they run the tape measure up and see how tall you are.
Yeah.
You know, Kyler Murray is going to stand up there, and they're going to know exactly how tall he is. And you can't escape that. And that's, you know, stuff like that is very telling. And I think it's, for most teams, They like things they can depend on. And this combine gives them facts. The guy's this high, this tall, this weighs this much, he ran this fast, jumped this high, he is this, you know, his shoulders are this big, you know, he's this strong. All of that stuff is fact. And that you can hang your hat on. Now, there's a lot of things that are different, and you know this, Murph. They can't put a tape measure around their heart, and right. They can't put a tape measure. They try to measure their intelligence, can't do that, you know, that much. You don't know how committed he's going to be. All that stuff is vastly important. They still haven't found a way to measure it.
Well, that's why we're here, to begin that measurement process, to begin that assessment of all of these players, 347 players, I believe the count is, for the Combine. Most of those players have arrived and are going through the medical tests, going through the nighttime interviews. They'll be on the field starting Friday, the running backs and offensive linemen. And some, they'll be on the field on Friday when the workouts begin here at the Combine. Saturday, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, they'll be on the field. And it moves right through next Monday. On Sunday, defensive linemen and linebackers on the field working out. And on Monday next week, defensive backs. It's a pretty standard format that they've employed here for a while. The workouts begin, as we said, on Friday. The meeting's going on at night with teams and some of these players. And, of course, all kinds of medical tests and evaluations going on right now.
Yeah.
We're here till 3 o'clock this afternoon, here till 3 o'clock tomorrow and Friday as well. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We got Sean McDermott. We're going to sit down with him one-on-one or two-on-one, Steve and I and head coach Sean McDermott. He's going to stop by at 1 o'clock this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, Dane Brugler from theathletic.com, the website that deals with the NFL in great detail. Dane Brugler will stop by, a bona fide draft expert. We'll get his thought on what he's looking for here today and some of the keys to this 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. We want to know from you, though. And look, we know where the Bills are at. You know what the Bills' needs are, what they're looking for. And that takes us to our Twitter poll today, the poll that we want to get your input on. You know they're looking for receivers, right? They need to put some receivers on the roster over the next 6 to 8 weeks. So as the Bills evaluate receivers here at the Combine, what traits should be the most important for the Bills to examine? And you can do a lot of it here, a lot of measurables, a lot of testing. And what should be at the top of the Bills' list as they evaluate receivers here at the Combine this week? What should be the most important traits they examine? On Twitter, we put it up there. You can see it at One Bills Live. If you have an answer to this, you can give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What traits should be at the top of the list for the Bills as they examine receivers here at the Combine? Should it be size and measurables? This guy's tall. This guy's long. This guy's bulky. This guy's light. Should it be their speed? Pretty simple, right? What's his time in the 40? What's his time in some of the short shuttle stuff they do? Speed and quickness. Should that be the most important trait? Should it be their hands? And they measure that. They watch that when they through the drills. You'll see it on Saturday. When they go through the drills, they make them run all these routes and can evaluate, where does he catch the ball? Does he catch it with his hands? Does he catch it with his body? Is he sure-handed? Or should it be something else? As you look at these receivers, and if you watch them on TV on Saturday when the receivers are on the field, knowing that the Bills need receiving help, what should be the most important trait? Give us a call. We'll discuss. 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Steven here to help answer that question as well. They're all important, Steve. They're all important. But I do think that hands would be the thing that I would look for. Who is a reliable guy who catches the ball most of the time when the ball's in position to be caught? Speed's important, but not paramount, not at the top of my list. Size, measurables, important. And I think you want a good mix of different size body types at receiver. But hands would be at the top of my list. Who's got sure hands? Who catches the ball virtually every time it's there to be caught? That would be my vote. But you can vote differently if you want. Vote on our Twitter poll, One Bills Live, or give us a call to discuss, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You played receiver in this league. First of all, are we missing anything in that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we were kind of hectic here. I would have chastised our producer, Jay Harris, because speed is a measurable. Speed is a measurable.
Right.
So what would you put
in there instead?
I would put size, measurable, speed, hands. I would say, route running. Number two would be route running for me. That would be one of the things. And I think for me, though, this combine and this stuff is all about measurables. It's all about measurables. I want to see how tall that guy is. I want to see how fast he is. I want to see how high he jumps. I want to watch him catch the football. I want to watch, see how much he weighs. I want to see him, his athleticism when he runs routes, how he moves with the football after he catches it. That it's all about what you – it's a huge eye test. And what I mean and what that means in football terms is when people stand around and watch this guy play, what do they see? And if they see all the things they're looking for, that's the eye test. And these guys, most of them will pass that eye test in a lot of ways. Are they big, fast, strong? Do they catch the ball well? Do they move good? Do they go laterally? Can they change directions? And that's tantamount for a wide receiver. You got to be able to explode, stop. One of the reasons I remember James Lofton, it was hilarious because James was an all-time great. He's a Hall of Fame player.
Sure, yeah.
And at the end, after he retired, we always chuckle about, you know, the old days, right? And he's really right. He said, listen, I could, even at the end of my career, and James could probably run a pretty darn good 400 right now at 60, right? But James could really run fast all the time. He was an Olympic caliber athlete. The problem was this, a wide receiver in the National Football League. At the end of your career, you can't stop.
Yeah.
You can run fast, but you can't stop because your feet, ankles, shins, calves, knees, hips all ache when you do that. It hurts because you've done it so much over the years. You can run fast, but you can't stop hard. And that's what it is to play receiver in the NFL. I told my son this, and all my sons this as well, when they were coming up through the ranks. It's not only about running fast, it's about the ability to stop hard. And that's why you can have phenomenal receivers in the NFL who run 4.5s. Because they can stop hard and change direction. Guys who sometimes run the 4.3, run the 4.4 40s, they can run really fast and explode, but they can't stop hard enough to change directions. And that's what gets you open in the NFL. So those measurables and those things, when you see them at this combine, is what I really look for in a wide receiver, their ability to stop hard.
Can you measure that? How do you measure that?
You have to see it.
You can observe.
Yeah, you got to see it. Yeah, and that's what it really is. That's what it really is. And you know, so it's, okay, there we go.
I don't know what's going on.
We're struggling here technically, but he's doing good. I hope you can all hear us talk. We're sitting here having this conversation, but we have no idea. We have
too.
No idea if anybody can hear us.
I don't know if we can repeat it if we have to. I don't think we could. So we got Sean McDermott stopping by at 1. Sean is moments away from hitting the podium on the other side of the convention center here to answer questions from the general media, a lot of Buffalo media here. A lot of coaches have been through here already today. I had a brief conversation with former Bills coach Doug Marrone earlier today.
I was talking to Dave McGinnis. Dave McGinnis, former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, defensive coordinator around the National Football League, now in the media. Floyd Reese.
Yeah, general manager of the Oilers.
General manager of the Oilers when I was there, and also worked with the Giants as well.
McDermott is at the podium, so let's listen in. Sean McDermott at the podium here at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, there's a long time between now and the opening kickoff, so the great part about Spencer is not only is he smart, but he's tough and offers the position flex that we look for. I mean, whether it's Doris or Chad Hall or some of the other candidates that we looked at and hired this year, you know, let's start off with a good person, and then soon thereafter comes smart. I wanted to build our staff with smart, very capable candidates that we could grow and develop. And in Dorsey's case, he has a history of helping to develop a quarterback in Cam Newton in Carolina. Dorsey also played the position at a high level in college and then had a stint in the pros as well. So, and then the other added piece to Ken is the element of being able to evaluate and having spent some time in the scouting department in Carolina. I think, you know, that'll aid Ken as he moves forward in his career and the way he'll help us in Buffalo. Yeah, I mean, we did hire Dennis. it's a good hire for us. I'm excited about it. He's another piece, another tool in our toolbox, if you will. It's important that we continue to build our staff with guys that can think at a high level, and he's certainly that. In addition to Luis, who is already on staff. And so, look, it's a race against time every week for coaches. And you've got, on most occasions, 7 days to find the right answers. And the more we can streamline information and get the right information, the sooner we come to those all-important solutions every week. I'm sorry? Yeah, Charles, what more can you say about a guy in terms of what he's meant to an organization, what he meant to me in my first 2 years as a head coach, really, the leadership, the way he battled through injuries, he helped us get it off the ground in Buffalo, and I'll always be indebted to Charles for that, and we certainly wish him well in Arizona. That said, we just feel like right now we're moving in a different direction, and we're obviously going to look hard at every position, tight end being one of them, to improve our football team. Yeah, Jason, give a lot of credit to Coach Boris and Jason, too, and the work that they've put in together and the work that Jason's put in, coming from where Jason's come from, and to be able to make the plays that he made for us last year and to grow and develop. There's very few that work harder than Jason, from the off season, his work ethic, all the way through the season, playing. Really appreciate the way he played at times hurt last season, and we look forward to him, among others, continuing to grow and develop and taking the next step. Can you play tight end at all, Sal?
I cannot do it, Sean.
I know about your golf game already. If it matches your golf game, we're in trouble. Brandon, there's obviously plenty of opportunity between now and the opening day to make sure we've got the right players at that position.
How important is the tight end position, especially where young quarterbacks
go? There's, number one, you want to make sure that you get the young quarterback, or any quarterback for that matter, protected. So if you start there and you start building out from there, really, the tight end is an important position for a quarterback, in this case a young quarterback like Josh. And being around a couple good tight ends in my history, both in Philadelphia and Carolina, namely in Chad Lewis and then in Greg Olsen, you see how that helps a young quarterback, whether he becomes a security blanket, he can turn a 5-yard route or a completion into a 15-yard gain. Obviously, the work in the red zone on third down, I think it goes without saying how important that position is. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good things about our game. Let's not overlook what's right about our game. And I would say a lot of what replay embodies is right about our game, And so I'm sure there's always going to be tweaks that we look at with respect to rules, in this case, replay. And so we'll continue to grow our game in the right direction, and replay may be one of them. We'll see. But we've got to also learn from the past and make sure that we continue to make adjustments as we move forward, whether it's in replay or in other rules.
Would you like to use?
No, just overall, I think whether it's replay or rules in general, we're all looking for consistency, and that's the biggest thing, that whether it's replay or the officials, that's one of the hardest jobs on the field, is to officiate a game with the rules that we have and the replays and the technology that's out there to capture, differences of inches one play to the next. And so they've got a hard job to do, and we have all the faith and confidence in that group that they're going to continue to grow and improve just like we are.
Would you like to have the flexibility to use 12 personnel a little higher percentage?
We'll see. We're always going to use what we have and put our best players on the field and put those players in positions of strength, whether it's 12 personnel, 11 personnel, which I know is trending around the league, is one of the higher personnel groups in the 60 to 70% or more range sometimes on first and second down. I mean, that's what to me as a coach, good coaches do that. They take what they've got, they put them in positions to be successful, and they make the most of what they've got.
You didn't use it a ton. I can't remember the exact, but, you know, you didn't use it a high percentage. You didn't use it the league average, I don't think.
Yeah, we'll see. Every year is different. You know, again, we're going to do what we feel like puts us in the best position to be successful week in and week out. It may be 12 one week 100% of the time. It may be 11 100% of the time the next week. I mean, the way we game plan, it's all about, you know, putting our players in position A, but also giving us the best chance to win.
There you go. Part of head coach Sean McDermott's news conference, which continues on the other side of the building here at the Indiana Convention Center. We've got Sean with us two-on-one. Steve and I talked to the head coach coming up at 1 o'clock today, so stick around for that. I'm not finding fault with the questions, but you got to know that on February 27th, there's no way Sean McDermott's answering questions about how much 12 personnel you're going to run next year. You know what I mean? He doesn't tell you that after the game. He won't answer that question. He's not going to talk about that. But he did talk about a couple of things, including the hiring of Dennis Locke as the new analytics expert for the Buffalo Bills, and a little bit about Ken Dorsey. We'll get into much more detail with Sean when we sit down with him at 1 o'clock today, including about the hires, right?
Yeah.
Ken Dorsey at quarterbacks coach, Chad Hall as receivers coach, and Dennis Locke in analytics.
Yeah. So Dennis Locke is intriguing to me. I'd like to, you know,
like to know how they're going to use him.
Is that a change because they were missing something or something they needed to do different? Obviously, they're always trying to get better, which is where this comes from. But it's fun to think about. It's something I used to be, you know, in the ancient times, a couple of decades ago, when you made changes on your staff, it was a big deal. It was very, very, it was, you know, there was strife. It was construed as something being wrong or something, you know, something that needed to be fixed. Nowadays, they evolve these staffs pretty quick. There's new changes just about every year. New
so
guys move,
money
slide
now.
Around. Yeah, they
People
slide
have the
around.
Money to add to the staff.
They add to the staff, and they slide guys from one staff to the other, one part of the organization to another. They get a guy from a subordinate position to bring him onto the staff at an elevated spot onto your staff. Guys slide over, guys move on, and guys age out of it a little bit. And so it's more normal now, and I think it's more accepted as – what can I say? Part of the process of putting together a really good football team. The staff evolves every year, and yep. It's interesting to watch.
So we got a lot to talk about today. Sean McDermott joins us at 1 o'clock, and we'll talk with Dane Brugler from TheAthletic.com. He's sort of got an overview of the combine that he published on TheAthletic.com the other day. And we want to hear from you. And our question of the day, when you're not limited to that, you can talk about whatever you want. But if the Bills are going to draft a wide receiver, what quality is most important in your evaluation? That's our Twitter poll. That's our topic to get things going. You can weigh in on Twitter at OneBillsLive. You can leave a note there, and we may read it on the tweet sheet. Or you can just vote. Or you can give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. If the Bills are looking at wide receivers, what's the most important quality in their evaluation? Early returns from the Twitter poll. You don't like this poll, but it's not bad, Steve. 43% of respondents say hands, 25% say speed, 19% say size / measurables, 13% have something else in mind. That's fairly close, Steve.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Although size and speed and measurables are all kind of the same thing, so that's like 44%, which is right along with hands.
We await your Twitter poll tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, so we're gonna have a few pops tonight and talk about the Twitter poll tonight.
Okay.
First one's on me, but it's all about Twitter poll tomorrow. We're gonna come out swinging here on the road.
I'm all in for the pops.
We gotta go on. We're on a road trip. And we're gonna come out. We're gonna play well on the road.
All right.
That's how you win. So we're gonna do that.
A break here. We're back with more. Give us a call or send something in via Twitter, and we'll discuss. We're coming to you from the Combine. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the NFL Scouting Combine, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Conversation. Call, tweet, or text Chopin the Bulldog this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker attending his first Combine. it's interesting. In fact,
I feel like your 8-year-old nephew, right? Oh, look,
Stevie's
at his first Combine.
Yeah, I've been to 12 of them. But, I mean, you did not get invited, which back then in mid-'80s, the Combine was sort of a relatively new invention.
Right.
So it probably was it a big deal that you didn't get invited? Did you?
I didn't know enough to get bummed out.
Think
one way or the other. Yeah. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was totally out to lunch.
But yeah, you got drafted.
I did. In the ninth round, that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. We were talking today, you and I at
breakfast. There was only 28 teams in the league back then.
Okay.
28.
Four more now.
Think about it, yeah.
We were talking today about the undrafteds and talking about the success the Bills had with two prominent undrafteds rookies last year, Levi Wallace at corner and Robert Foster at wide receiver out of Alabama, and how they were both at the combine, and they were both, I'm sure, evaluated by the Bills, but they didn't see enough to draft them, which is interesting. You know, when you consider how much those two factored into – you know, the Bills season last year, they were important
And you
players.
Think about it, too. They drafted two wide receivers in the seventh round in Austin Prohl and
Ray-Ray
McLeod. And there's no question Robert Foster outperformed both of those guys at the end of the season. And it's just that's how difficult it is, you know, to pick guys. Some guys thrive at the next level for whatever reason, and there's no question, too, that Brian Daboll, having had him as a senior in college 2 years ago, made a difference for Robert Foster. They knew something about him that they didn't know about other guys. I mean, they had, you know, their coach, their offensive coordinator knew something that put him ahead, so they signed him. They didn't draft him, but they signed him, yeah. And that, you know, that opened the door for him to develop pretty quickly.
So they drafted those two wide receivers. They signed Robert Foster, and here they are a year later still looking for wide receivers, important additions at wide receiver. And that gets to our Twitter poll today. We all believe the Bills are looking at wide receivers. And here at the Combine, what qualities of a wide receiver should the Bills focus on? What do you think? What are the most important qualities the Bills should focus on? It's our Twitter poll. We're taking votes on Twitter. We're taking your comments on Twitter. We'll get those in a second. We've got a few phone calls on this as well. Norm on the line from Albany. Norm, what do you think?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show. Love it.
Hi.
I think as far as receivers go, I think speed and hands, size, it could be questionable. Because, you know, you look at Steve, you remember Don Beebe, so do you, John. And how about Amendola?
Sure do.
Edelman, Maurice Jones-Drew, Wes Welker, Darren Sproles. But, you know what, I got one other question that kind of makes me chuckle. How come you guys drove and you didn't fly out there? Because I've done that trip.
Because we've had
clear cut
on this particular weekend going down to Indianapolis has proven to be problematic in the past, so they didn't take any chances. Plus, we've got 16,000 tons of equipment we bring with us.
Yeah, and you know what? We got bumped a couple times, both coming and going from Indianapolis because of weather and other issues, and we just figured, you know. The drive is a little bit longer, and it's enjoyable.
We had fun. Plus, you rent the big machine, and it's got all the bells and whistles. So we're not, you know, internet and
for instance, power outlets. We got a chance last night.
Music
as we crossed over from the Ohio state line to Indiana state line. We got a chance to hear Steve Tasker sing the entire lyrics of "Afternoon Delight." I mean, you're not going to get that experience anywhere else.
That is not true.
You were singing loud. I almost pulled out my little tape recorder.
We both commented on how badly we thought that song and how we couldn't believe it.
And yet you knew every word.
I did not know it. Well, how do you not know the words? It's like a lullaby. It's like a kid's song.
And that was just one of the many hits that Steve performed. The album's coming out in a couple weeks.
We had
Tasker's greatest hits.
We had the contest, the radio contest.
Carpool karaoke.
Yeah, a song would come on, and it was who could name the artist first.
Yeah, that's easy.
That was fun.
Yeah,
but
that's why we drove, though.
Yeah, we drove because of logistical pluses.
There's another call on receivers. David in Tampa. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. John, I want to ask you a question. When is Brandon Bean going to replace the talent level of Sammy Watkins?
Well, maybe in about 6 weeks or 2 months when the draft comes. They're looking for receivers, clearly. Maybe it comes that soon. That's why we think they're going to draft a receiver. It's not just Watkins either. You know, Robert Woods left a talent vacancy here when he left a couple of years ago. There are others as well. Marquise Goodwin was a net loss in talent at wide receiver. There's no question about it.
Right. Because
David, does that answer your question?
Brandon Bean is a smart GM, and I'm still waiting for him to impress me, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you this, David, and here's what I thought when you asked about Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, you're right. The talent level is not there on this roster. There's not too many guys with the physical abilities of Sammy Watkins in the league, let alone on the Bills roster. But I'll tell you this. He replaced Sammy Watkins' production with Robert Foster. Robert Foster contributed just as much as Sammy Watkins did in his tenure here because he was healthy and on the field.
Exactly.
Sammy Watkins couldn't get on the field, wasn't healthy, right. And you can say what you want about how talented he was. He could have been Superman, but if he ain't playing, he ain't playing.
Watkins' issues, as Steve points out, were health and contract, right? His next contract, which they didn't feel like they wanted to be in position to first of all, they weren't sure that they could meet his contract demands, especially given the amount of production he had. They got important draft picks for Sammy Watkins, so that's measurable too. But I hear you, David, and I agree with you. Look, Watkins coming in was a great talent. But he hasn't measured up to that talent in any of his three NFL stops.
He hasn't produced.
Three NFL stops now, and are the Bills or the Rams, or even the Chiefs, do they think they're getting what they bargained for in Sammy Watkins?
$14 million for the Chiefs, and he's the fourth option.
Is anybody getting what they expected?
Third option now with Kareem Hunt out of it. But think about that. I mean, I get it. You're thinking, wow, Sammy Watkins doing – listen, he didn't play. He didn't play for the Bills. He didn't produce. When he was on the field, he had a couple of long touchdowns, a couple. But
that wasn't some production. But, again, it was the contract was coming up, and that was going to be a problem for the Bills.
He was to commit money
to a guy who can't stay healthy.
He struggled to get on the field, and he didn't show the Buffalo Bills enough to invest that kind of money. They were trying to get to a place where they were in now. They were trying to get to where they are now, and trading Sammy Watkins helped them do that. And you can say what you want. And I know Brandon Bean, you've got the people on the fence watching the team do all this stuff, and Brandon Bean gets crushed by some people for trading away Marcell Dareus and now Sammy Watkins and some of the other good players that you've seen, even Cordy Glenn, Tyrod Taylor. You can go down the list. But where the club is right now, I think you'd be hard-pressed to say if any of those guys would have made a difference in the club to getting to where they are now after a playoff run 2 years ago, I would disagree with you. I think they're in the best position they've been in a long, long time, and a lot of it, the moves that we were talking about, put them in a position to get them to this spot. No doubt that the pressure is ratcheted up now because the expectations are going to be much higher than they have been. But I'm telling you, I don't miss Sammy Watkins. I don't miss Marcell Dareus. I don't miss Tyrod. I do like Tyrod. I like this quarterback better. All of that stuff. So I can't get there going back and dissecting the trades they made to get to this point, because this point looks like they are, they're the diver that's going to jump into the pool, and the board is bent with their weight, ready to spring them into the air. Right? I mean, that's where they're sitting right now. They got money to spend. And they are going to do the triple Lindy into the pool to see if they can, right? That's what we're looking at, right, Murph? We got free agent waters. We got the draft and 10 picks. And we got the quarterback position. I mean, good grief.
And they have a need at wide receiver.
Let's go.
That's our focus. If the Bills are going to draft a wide receiver, what quality is most important in the evaluation of that wide receiver? We're taking calls on that. We're talking about it also on the tweet sheet. We got a couple of tweets in on this topic.
Swice is nice. Says hands. Being able to catch those rockets from Josh is going to be crucial for any wide receiver or tight end that's brought in. I feel as though such a trait comes along with toughness, which is a pretty good observation.
I think hands are
which
most
will
important.
Move the sticks and produce TDs. Hands is, it's interesting too. All the things that go into the things we talk about, hands and a wide receiver, don't they go hand in hand? And it's hard to evaluate a guy unless you see him catch 150 balls, right? All kinds of catches, different catches, catches with the guy hanging on him, catches getting separation. Can he catch the ball? It's such a crucial thing. They have the guy run across the field and catch like four or five balls in a row, and that's it. You get one shot at it, But I agree with you. We also had one of the coaches that, one of the best coaches I was ever around, Nick Nicolau, was a wide receivers coach for the Buffalo Bills back in the 90s. And he said, you know, we have these guys trying to catch. We're asking them to go out there and run, and this ball's flying through the air and catch it. Maybe we should give them eye tests. And they did.
Yeah.
They gave the Bills eye tests and got their vision tested about what they were good at and what they were bad at. It really was telling in a lot of ways. So you can bet these teams are doing that as well. Sure. They got to be able to – if they can't catch, maybe the guy can really catch, but he can't see that well. You know what I mean?
The Bills just had a wide receiver who had they took him for an eye test and it improved his game a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Looking at Chris Brown. Kevon Seymour. Oh, defensive back. There you go. Yeah, it was important. It's, I mean, same.
J.D. Williams was a great defensive back for the Bills, first round draft pick or first or second, and he had a vision problem. He didn't catch well. And one of the reasons they're DBs is because they don't catch well. You know, because right.
Yeah.
So you find out some of them they've got a problem with their vision, picking the ball up in flight, and that's it's something you got to think about. But hands are part of that equation. Can they catch it? And if they can catch it, or they can't catch it, maybe they can if they could see it better. So you got to touch all the bases.
Our question of the day deals with receivers. If the Bills are going to draft a wide receiver, what quality is most important in that evaluation? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And you can vote on Twitter. We might read your tweet on the air. We got Sean McDermott coming up with us at 1 o'clock here from the Combine. Come on back for that. One Bills Live from the NFL Scouting Combine, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the Combine. John Murphy, Steve Tasker at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Sean McDermott standing by to join us right at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. Talking about receivers, we want to hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Call on the line from Trevor in Rochester. Trevor, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would say
sure.
Control is most important because I think it encompasses hands, the ability to get in and out of cuts and to maneuver. So I would say body control, and the problem with that is there's not really a metric that defines that, like height, weight, size, and speed.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's hard. You're right. Yeah, you got to look at the guy and find he's got to be a great athlete. He's got to be coordinated. He's got to have great hands, get in and out of breaks. He's got to be just a really well-coordinated athlete, guy that, he's got to be that, no question. But I think here's my point about this is that's like saying, I don't know, it. That's like saying you got to have a ticket to get into the game. Yeah, that's how you get here. You're one of those guys to get here. That's what gets your ticket to Indianapolis. That's why you're being considered an NFL prospect, because you do all that. That's a given. The question is, are you better than this one, or what kind of guy are you? Are you going to work hard at it? Are you going to be changed when you get in the room? These guys are here because they catch, run fast, jump high, all of that stuff. It's not only are they in this place because they're being compared to one another, they're also being compared to the guys that the teams like the Bills have already on their roster. And so they're in the room because they do all the things you just described. What differentiates him? That's the big thing. And you can say, yeah, he's got to do it better than this guy or that guy, or he's pretty good. Listen, these guys are all as good an athlete as you've ever met. So that gets him in the door. It's all the things you can't measure that make these guys thumbs up or thumbs down. It's guys, or is he going to be Josh Gordon or is he going to be Calvin Johnson? Name it, which one's he going to be? And because the physical abilities, both those guys are elite. One of them can't play in the NFL, and the other one is probably a Hall of Famer.
Here's a general question for you. I used to stand and watch practice and watch cornerbacks work, and I'd think to myself, right here, these six guys in front of me, this is the best collection of athletes in a 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
Are they or are receivers? What do you think? A totally general, wide range.
Well, it depends on the team and the year,
Right. Corners and receivers.
Yeah, they're athletes. And I'll tell you this, too. If you catch those kids, those guys, you catch these young men when they're 5 years old, you give them a hockey stick, they're in the NHL. You give them a basketball, they're in the NBA. You give them a baseball bat, they're playing in the major leagues. They're genetically different.
Yeah.
Change all of them.
Direction, speed.
And it doesn't matter. I'm not saying it has anything to do with black, white, older, where they came from. I mean, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. And You know, so that's, you're right. You stand there and watch these guys. You don't know. You get six guys. Most people in Buffalo went to a Bills practice and sat there and watched the corners and the safeties. They don't know personally 10 other people that could be in that group athletically.
Yeah, you're right.
They're elite, as a regular population. Now, when you start, you know, you put it in the NFL and there are 32 teams, okay, yeah, then you can make pluses and minuses with these guys. But athletically, man, these guys are already good enough. Yeah. I mean, you're talking. I mean, I didn't have any business being, you know, at the combine. I mean, I wasn't even invited. So guys like me who were not as athletic as some of the guys at the most of the guys at the combine, not as big, certainly not as tall, fast, strong, with all that stuff. But a guy like me can play. So that, what I brought to the table was something different than you could measure. So that's the great unknown, and that's why these guys are. That's why this combine exists. They're trying to find ways to evaluate in ways that we, you know, that separate the elite guys from the guys who aren't elite but will be better, more productive.
Yeah, that makes it fun too. As a matter of fact,
it's
right.
Yeah, you're picking a horse race. You know.
Hey, we got. We're gonna sit down and talk with the coach coming up in a minute or two, and we're gonna get back to your calls about what qualities should the Bills be looking at on receivers. We'll do that as the afternoon rolls along. Dane Brugler is going to join us at 2:00 from theathletic.com. His take on the combine on this first day of our appearance here. But head coach Sean McDermott coming up next. We'll sit and talk with him about what he's looking for at this combine, what he's added to his coaching staff. They've added a new analytics specialist. We'll talk about all of that with Sean McDermott when we come back for the show. It is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.